even though it's become obvious to most that something is not quite right and that some sort of global conspiracy does indeed exist, it's still very hard to see exactly what it is and where the truth really lies. John F. Kennedy described the situation in this manner.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Tightly knit, highly efficient, its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silent, not praised. No expenditure is questioned. No secret is revealed.
Later, when trying to conduct an investigation into the Kennedy assassination, the director of the FBI, J. Edgar Hoover, echoed Kennedy's sentiments when he said, "The individual is handicapped by coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous you cannot believe it exists."
Welcome back to the New World Out of Order. Hey, this edition, we're going to be talking about, the New World Order and the reality of the New World Order. And what's really driving this is that, you know, I have a lot of friends and associates and relatives and coworkers or whatever that still refuse to believe that, you know, the reality of the New World Order, that it exists. When they ever hear the term, they automatically scoff at it. The first thing that comes to mind is conspiracy theory and, you know, all the usual stuff. And I'm sure most of you people have friends or relatives like this as well. But, you know, they're still people and they're still affected by this and they still need to understand. So, you know, it's unfortunate the majority of them don't believe it, primarily because they've never taken the opportunity to look into it for themselves. And, you know, if you've been listening to any of the podcasts, you know that's what I'm really big on the purpose of this is to motivate people to start doing their own independent thinking and their own independent research into issues like this. Stop relying on the mainstream media and start doing your own, independent thinking. That's the big thing. You just have to use common sense. A lot of... most people, you know, we're all brought up and conditioned this way to where we just, you know, listen to the mainstream media, the news, and and they tell us what's going on. That's it. There's no questioning. We're just so used to being told what's happening. And, you know, the natural ability of independent thinking and, you know, your own determination of what is right and what is not right, what is true that you're being told, whatever, that's a lost, you know, I hate to say a lost art because it's just such a natural ability that's into every one of us. But it's been, you know, definitely suppressed and that people just don't utilize anymore. So, you know, use that ability to independently think about things and use common sense when you're evaluating, you know, those thoughts or whatever. And you'll be amazed at at the reality that kind of jumps out at you. So anyway, this is really for you guys to hopefully you guys can utilize this podcast and also the website, NWO3.com, to show them some of the information. And it's primarily going to be quotes here to some of these people. And, you know, it's kind of hard for people to deny that something exists when the creators of the existence is telling you that it exists and that it's real. So, but anyway, you know, these are quotes. And of course, with all quotes, they are a snippet of information taken from a speech or an article or whatever. So the context of a spoken word, the context of that, in a quote might not be fully understood. And there again, the intention, because you don't know, you don't hear the person's, mannerisms. You don't see the mannerisms. You don't hear, you know, the expressions in their voices or whatever. So you don't know if they're the intent of it. But once you hear so many of these quotes or read so many of these quotes, and there again, once you're doing your own thinking about them and actually realize the central theme and what they're talking about here, and there's so many different people, and a lot of these people are instrumental in the development of the New World Order, and the other ones are actually, you know, whether they're presidents or congressmen or whatever. So, you know, it's just kind of hard to believe that all these people are telling you lies, but very well could be. But anyway, we're going to start off with, some quotes. And this is, the first one is going to be from George Washington, 1798. And that he acknowledged that the Illuminati activity had come to the United States. And the Illuminati, the people that you'll be talking to, you know, they're going to hear that term as well. They're not going to like it. But just tell them, hey, go out and do your own research and into the Illuminati, and you come back and tell me what you find. There's going to be a lot of disinformation on Illuminati, as you may well know by now. But Illuminati was created primarily by the Rothschilds. It was the official, you know, creator was he was actually an agent for the Rothschilds. I actually forget his name right now, but it was back in 1743. It's a real group, no denying that. And but anyway, here's George Washington in 1798. "It is not my intention to doubt that the doctrine of the Illuminati and the principles of Jacobinism had not spread in the United States. On the contrary, no one is more satisfied of this fact than I am." And there again, he's not telling you that he's satisfied with the efforts of the Illuminati. He's just telling you he's satisfied with the fact that they're in and operating in the United States. He understood that, so he knew that. Okay, the next one is, of course, my favorite favorite quote to hate of all time. It's a true quote, whether it's in whatever context it is. It's actually true. But this is Mayor Amschel Rothschild back in the early 1800s. And he said, "Allow me to issue and control the money of a nation, and I care not who writes the laws." Now, anybody can understand that, and if you think about it, which I hope you do, you realize that it's true, because in our world today, the money rules everything. And of course, the reason it does primarily is because the result of this quote. But anyway, even if the Illuminati wasn't present, if we had a society that used money for, you know, the purchase and the acquisition of goods and services, then that would still be true. Now, the only thing is that our governments should not allow that to be abused. And unfortunately, that's what's happened over the last few hundred years, is that it's pretty much all governments of the world have been allowed to be controlled by these people and fall under this quote. "Allow me to issue and control the money of a nation, and I care not who writes the laws." And that's very true. And like I said, that was written back in, that was stated back in the early 1800s. Okay, the next quote that a lot of your friends ought to be aware of is by President Woodrow Wilson. Now, you know, President Wilson was the president at the seated president at the time that the Federal Reserve Act was passed, and also that the income tax and the IRS was put into place. You know, of course, he was bought out by that time, or during his presidency. Now, I think he really, from what I've been able to learn, I think that he really thought that the Federal Reserve Act was a good thing at the time of writing it, even though he was, you know, bought out in order to actually, to provide a signature on that once it was approved by the Congress that was obviously bought out or coerced. But anyway, afterwards, you know, this is a quote that after he came out of office, this was 1916, President Wilson. "I am a most unhappy man. I have unwittingly ruined my country. A great industrial nation is controlled by its system of credit. Our system of credit is concentrated. The growth of the nation, therefore, and all our activities are in the hands of a few men. We have come to be one of the worst ruled, one of the most completely controlled and dominated governments in the civilized world. No longer a government of free opinion, no longer a government by conviction and the vote of the majority, but a government by the opinion and duress of a small group of dominant men." So that was Mr. Wilson after he allowed the Federal Reserve Act to pass. The next one is by FDR, President Franklin Roosevelt, 1933. "The real truth of the matter is, as you and I know, that a financial element in the larger centers has owned the government since the days of Andrew Jackson." And, of course, I'm thinking he's referring to the day, the end of the Andrew Jackson era, because, you know, Andrew Jackson was the guy that actually rid the country of the Second Bank of the United States, which was the second Rothschild central bank instituted in the United States. And of course, Andrew Jackson knew that that was a was not good, as well as Jefferson, who eliminated the first one. But anyway, the third one was the Federal Reserve, and of course, it's still in place here. Okay, now here is David Rockefeller. Now, David Rockefeller is, he is the grand poopah of the New World Order movement in the United States. And when I say he's the grand poopah, you understand he is the grand poopah from the financial side. And the financial side rules everybody. The financial side rules the government portion, and the, you know, intellectual portion, colleges, the education system, and the ecclesiastical portion. So, you know, the religious organizations. So he's the grand poopah of the New World Order effort. And like I say, he is a relative of the Rothschild family by marriage. But anyway, this is his quote back in 1994. "This present window of opportunity, during which a truly peaceful and interdependent world order might be built, will not be open for too long. We are on the verge of a global transformation. All we need is the right major crisis, and the nations will accept the new world order." And this was 1994. Of course, it was prior to 2011. And, of course, there was actually two major crises that came after this particular quote. And one of those was the Oklahoma City bombing. And then, of course, the other one was the 9/11 attacks. So, and, of course, the 9/11 attacks are very obvious what the truth about those is. The Oklahoma bombing is not so widely known, but I highly encourage you to look into that. What you believe is real and what you believe is true about that, as you've been told by the mainstream media, I can guarantee you is not. And you will be, I think you'll be very, very surprised at what you find about the truth that you find out about the Oklahoma City bombings. But anyway, so he just said they needed a major crisis, and the world will accept the new world order. And And we have. Whether you know it or not, we have. And the reason that I say that is because of all the powers that have been shifted to NATO and the United Nations and away from our Constitution. You need to be aware of that. And you know, make sure your friends understand that they're not going to be aware of that by listening to ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, none of those. Okay, you're not going to get these stories that tell you the truth about the abuses of our Constitution. So, all right, the next one kind of gives you an insight on what's going on here is by Carol Quigley. And he was a guy that was actually documenting. He was actually on the inside of the Council on Foreign Relations. It's not like he was a covert operation or anything. He was actually, you know, invited to come in and be a and document the Council on Foreign Relations. And this is what he said afterwards. The Council on Foreign Relations is the American branch of a society which originated in England and believes national boundaries should be obliterated and one world rule established. And that was in his book entitled Tragedy and Hope. And now, you know, the a branch of society originated in England. The one that he's referring to right there primarily is the Royal Institute on International Affairs. And of course, also the Rhodes Scholarship is also one you need to look into as well. It's not really what you think. You know, if you go back to the Illuminati, they had four methods to control people. And one of those methods is to control the education systems. And of course, the ones that they were primarily after initially, and the ones that are still the most valuable directly to their efforts, are the upper end secondary educations, you know, the Ivy League schools and Oxford and Stanford and Harvard's and those types, because those have the affluent people in them, and also the 1% of you know, natural intelligence, I guess, of that's kind of where that's where they end up going. But they also control, of course, in this country through the Department of Education, they also control, you know, all public education and what is being taught. The reason I got off on that was actually the Rhodes Scholarship. If you actually look into the guy who created this, Cecil Rhodes, look into the purpose of the Rhodes Scholarship and what he was really after. And there again, none of this is conspiracy theory or whatever. Just go look into it. Just go read about it. Educate yourself on this. And you'll realize, hey, it's kind of not what I thought it was. And, you know, you just learn a little something there. So, all right, the next one is from our old buddy David Rockefeller again. And, of course, you know I say that with sarcasm. And now this will be one of the first ones that you probably want to tell someone who doesn't believe in the New World Order. There's actually two quotes from David Rockefeller. I'll get to the other one in just a second. But this is from David Rockefeller's autobiography, and it's called Memoirs, and it's on page 405. And he quotes, "For more than a century, ideological extremists at either end of the political spectrum have seized upon well-publicized incidents such as my encounter with Castro to attack the Rockefeller family for the inordinate influence they claim we have over American political and economic institutions. Some even believe we are part of a secret cabal working against the best interest of the United States, characterizing my family and me as internationalists, and of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure, one world, if you will. If that's the charge, I stand guilty, and I'm proud of it." It's David Rockefeller, his own words from his own autobiography, and it doesn't really get any more black and white than that. So make sure your friends and relatives are aware of that. If that doesn't motivate somebody to kind of start listening to people who are talking about this and start doing their own research, I'm not really sure what will. So, okay, the next one is from Henry Kissinger, and this was at 1994 at a conference, and it's a World Affairs conference. And he said, "The New World Order cannot happen without U.S. participation. as we are the most significant single component. Yes, there will be a new world order, and it will force the United States to change its perceptions. It's big old Dr. Kissinger back in 1994. And, you know, there again, for the people who say that the new world order doesn't exist, it's a figment of your imagination, it's conspiracy theories run wild, or whatever they say, all you have to do is just realize that, you know, Henry Kissinger is a huge player in the international new world order, and has been for a long time. And for him, he actually had a book published in 1994, and it was titled How to Achieve the New World Order. So for, you know, all your friends that don't believe in it, just make sure they make sure they hear that and they can go research that or whatever. So it's kind of hard to deny that there is a not a new world order when the people that are involved with implementing it are telling you. And even Vice President Joe Biden, there again, I don't have very much respect for him, but in 1992, he wrote an article that was published in the Wall Street Journal, and it was entitled How I Learned to Love the New World Order. Yeah, it just doesn't get any more black and white than that. So if we can just turn them on to these type of quotes and like I said, these type of books and articles, then hopefully they'll come around. The next one is a very famous one by George H.W. Bush. This is, George H.W. Bush was, I believe he was the second active, seated president to actually mention the term New World Order. I believe the first one was actually Richard Nixon, but here's one that I'm sure most people have actually heard. George Bush Sr., it's 1990. It's actually September the 11th, 1990. But anyway, he said, out of these troubled times, our objective, a new world order, can emerge. Today, that new world is struggling to be born, a world quite different from the one we have known. Okay, now the next one is from James Paul Warburg. It's 1950. Now, he's the son of Paul Warburg, and the Warburg family is, now they are a member of the Council on 13. Council on 13 is like, the epitome, that is the top branch of the effort for one world government and economy. Now, the existence of the Council on 13 is in question. It's very secretive. There is not much information out there. There is a lot of information that you can write off immediately as being not reliable, or there's just no founding for that information. There's nothing that you can back it up with. So the existence of the Council on 13 is, I cannot tell you that it actually exists. And the only reason that I do refer to it is, and I do think it does exist, is just because of the credible mentions of it. But there again, I know that sounds awful confusing, but anyway, it's the 13 families that are actually running this New World Order effort, and the Warburgs are one of them, as well as the Rothschilds and the Jacobs and the Schiffs and Astors and anyway, that's you can look that up, but be very careful on that one, because like I said, there's not a lot of credible information out there on the Council on 13. But anyway, his quote was, he said, we shall have world government, whether or not we like it. The only question is whether world government will be achieved by conquest or consent. And he made this statement before the United States Senate in 1950. Now, here's a guy that everybody is aware of, General Douglas MacArthur. And he said, I am concerned for the security of our great nation, not so much because of any threat from without, but because of the insidious forces working from within. There again, that in itself doesn't say anything about the New World Order, but taken with all the other stuff that hopefully that you're going to learn from, doing your own research, that you're going to be able to you know, tie all these things together and get the bigger picture here, what's going on. Good old buddy David Rockefeller again, and there again, that was a little sarcasm. 1991 Bilderberg meeting, Baden-Baden, Germany. This is the other David Rockefeller quote I was talking about. If you only had to really had time to share two of these with some, you know, people that aren't aware, this one and the previous David Rockefeller one would be the ones that I would actually share with them. So this one says, "We are grateful to the Washington Post, the New York Times, Time Magazine, and other great publications whose directors have attended our meetings and respected the promises of discretion for almost 40 years. It would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we had been subject to the bright lights of publicity during these years. But the world is now more sophisticated and prepared to march towards a world government. The supranational sovereignty of an intellectual elite and world bankers is surely preferable to the national autodetermination practiced in past centuries." As David Rockefeller, thanking the media for not disclosing their efforts during the past 40 years, back to the 1950s. And of course, the Bilderberg meeting started in 1954. And of course, you know, one of the four methods that the Illuminati established for controlling people, you know, I mentioned one earlier about controlling the information, the education system, information provided to the masses. The other one is to, the education system. This one is actually controlling the information that is provided to the masses. This is controlling the press. And they knew this. And this is actually what brought the Rockefeller family into prominence, into the New World Order effort back in the early 1900s, was the acquisition of the American press. And it was Jacob Schiff, I believe, who the Rockefellers sent over here back in the early 1900s with the goal of acquiring control of the major media at the time. And, you know, at the time, the Rockefellers, they were part of the effort, but I wouldn't say they weren't nearly as big as a mover and a shaker as they are today. But anyway, they approached the Rockefellers and told them this is what we have to do. And that's when Rockefeller went out and purchased the major, I think he actually purchased five of the major news outlets at the time, you know, which was newspapers, and I'm not sure if it was like Western Union. I can't actually remember, but that's when they actually started purchasing the press in the United States, was early 1900s, and you know they own the major media now. Of course, earlier podcast I mentioned that, and there again, do your research on this. The 18 of the top 20 media companies in the United States, their presidents and or CEOs are members of Council on Foreign Relations. And that is the effort. Council on Foreign Relations, of course, is the United States effort to move towards New World Order. Their sole mission is to eliminate the sovereignty of the United States and by abolishing the Constitution, and they've pretty much achieved that already. But anyway, that's a little more than I was planning on telling you about that. But if I had to share just two quotes to new people about this, it would be those two quotes from David Rockefeller. And there again, you need to kind of make sure they understand who David Rockefeller is in the scheme of things. Everybody's heard of David Rockefeller. Everybody knows about the Rockefeller family, but they don't know about their involvement and those guys, that family being the leader of the effort in the United States. If I had to say, David Rockefeller, that family is the most powerful in the United States, just like, you know, the Rothschilds are, you know, arguably the most powerful family in the world. And, of course, the other members of the Council on 13 might disagree with that, but anyway, I just got to see one or two more here. This one is from Barry Goldwater. It's a book he wrote in 1964. And he said, the Trilateral Commission is intended to be the vehicle for multinational consolidation of the commercial and banking interest by seizing control of the political government of the United States. The Trilateral Commission represents a skillful, coordinated effort to seize control and consolidate the four centers of power, those being political, monetary, intellectual, and ecclesiastical. And like I said, that was Barry Goldwater. Now, you know, the Trilateral Commission is primarily it was founded by David Rockefeller, and it is a it's the trilateral portion is United States, Europe, and Japan. It was actually the original portion of the Trilateral Commission. I believe that the Japanese portion, there's some information out there that's saying the Japanese portion is kind of being pushed aside a little bit. What I'm getting is that the Japanese started really not playing the game quite as much. So I don't think they're as strong and have as much at stake at the table as they used to. But anyway, they are very almost parallel with the Council on Foreign Relations. Council on Foreign Relations is their concentration is the United States, and their concentration is the government of the United States, and also they control the press as well. But the Trilateral Commission, it's a little bit more worldwide. But there again, they're both of those missions are one world government, one world economy. And okay, just got one more here, and this is a Senator George Malone, and he was speaking before Congress in 1957, and he said, I believe that if the people of this nation fully understood what Congress has done to them over the last 49 years, they would move on Washington. They would not wait for an election. It adds up to a preconceived plan to destroy the economic and social independence of the United States. That was 1957. And he was talking about 49 years. So, you know, he was talking about since 1908. So, anyway, it's just, I got a couple more here I'm going to read to you. And another one from Henry Kissinger. And, anyway, it speaks for itself. This was in the early 1900s at a Bilderberg meeting. He said, today, well, let me just lay the pretense first. This was right after the L.A. riots, not too long after the L.A. riots, so. He said, today, America would be outraged if UN troops entered Los Angeles to restore order. Tomorrow, they will be grateful. This is especially true if they were told that there was an outside threat from beyond, such as an extraterrestrial invasion, whether it be real or promulgated, that threatened our very existence. It is then that all peoples of the world will plead to deliver them from this evil. The one thing that every man fears is the unknown. When presented with this scenario, individual rights will be willingly relinquished for the guarantee of their well-being granted to them by the world government. That was in the early 1900s. Early 1990s. And, of course, he was already talking to them about the one world government. Now, here's an interesting one. This was from, this is from Congressman Larry McDonald, and please look up Congressman Larry McDonald. He did a lot in trying to get the word out to people, and it potentially cost him his life. This was 1976, Congressman McDonald. The drive of the Rockefellers and their allies is to create a one-world government combining supercapitalism and communism under the same tent. All under their control. Do I mean conspiracy? Yes, I do. I'm convinced there is such a plot, international in scope, generations old in planning, and incredibly evil in intent. He said that not too long before he was killed on the Korean Airlines 747 that was shot down by the Soviets. So, there again, look into Congressman McDonald. Also, I mean, just on the subject of some people being taken out by airplanes. Look into the private. It was like, I think it was like a Learjet or whatever. It was a U.S. Air Force Learjet that went down in Alexander City, Alabama. Was it 1994, 1995? And it killed, Corporal Feaster, and there was like eight others that were on that plane, and they were all Air Force officers. There was one non-Air Force, and he was an Army guy who actually hitched a ride on the space available, agreement that they had to where they could grab a seat if there was a seat open. And this particular Army officer was, they were delivering information. They were going to unveil some very incriminating information about the New World Order and also President Clinton at the time. So if you're looking into the Korean Airlines 747 that McDonnell was on when he died in, also, check out that Air Force plane that went down in Alexander City, Alabama. You'll be very interested in what you find on that one as well. A lot of interesting information out there. So, okay, I tell you what, that's going to be it. Listen, I hope that you, as well as myself, can continue to, educate our friends and relatives and, bring them about. We're not trying to scare anybody. We're not trying to intimidate anybody, of course. We're just purely trying to educate people, make sure people are aware of what's going on. You obviously can't do anything if you're not aware that something needs to be done, that something's wrong. So, and I think everybody in the world can kind of feel that there is something wrong, whether they understand what it is or willing to admit to themselves that it could be their own government, perhaps. It's not a thought that anybody relishes or looks forward to, but the truth is the truth. And, we all need to be adults here and, own up to the truth. It's just like I said previously, we can't curl up in a corner in a fetal position and just pretend it doesn't exist and it'll go away. It's not going to happen. So, but it's amazing if you look through history what people can do in numbers. We have to be united. Everyone has to be made aware. Everyone has to be educated. And that's what I'm doing. I'm just trying to bring awareness to people, so encourage people to do their own investigations, start doing independent thinking, and then using common sense. If you just use common sense, a lot of this stuff would just it won't make sense to you. And of course, the reason that we kind of push aside that notion, in other words, we use common sense, and it tells us that what the government is doing doesn't make sense. We kind of push it aside, like, it's much more complicated than I understand, and I don't know all of the information. And well, that's what they want you to do. In actuality, I don't care the most complicated system, process, movement, effort, or whatever. All starts out and is all based on a simple context. Okay, it's all based on a central concept. And in this particular New World Order scenario, the simple concept that you can trace it all back to and break it all down to is, give me control of a nation's money and I care not who makes its laws. There again, and in order to put that into motion, make it a reality or whatever, that's where it starts getting bigger and perhaps more complex. And, of course, in this case, what you'll learn is the complexity of this is really twofold. A lot of the complexity of the New World Order is put in place for diversion, delusion. And then, of course, the other one is because this is a large, large effort, and it does need a lot of people. But I would venture to say, and this is just me talking, but I would venture to say that the money and effort that is spent on the New World Order, I would say they probably spent more money and more time on delusion and disinformation than they do on the actual real efforts. And there again, that's just me. That's just me talking. But all right, guys, listen, I appreciate you joining in here, and good luck with your friends and coworkers, and tell them to check out the website, nwo3.com. Please drop me a line on there. My email address is on the contact page. On the, you know, the front page is going to be is featured articles that I pull from alternative news sites. Check those out. Please check out my news feed section, and where I list, you know, a lot of alternative news sites. You know, take your pick. We need to quit watching the mainstream media. There's plenty of very reliable news sites out here. I'm not going to force feed any of them to you. I'm just putting as many as I can find. I'm going to start putting on the website, and you go find the ones that you like, you know. And so anyway, appreciate you guys joining in, and I'll talk to you in probably about a week.